You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.
Policy That Matters is a collaboration between the Heinz Journal of Carnegie Mellon University's Heinz College and WRCT 88.3 FM. For more information, go to journal.heinz.cmu.edu.
Good afternoon, Pittsburgh. This is Policy That Matters on 88.3 WRCT. I am your host, Becca, with my co-host, Paula. How are you, Paula?
Good, thanks.
And today we are talking about a very important topic, and we have a very special and important guest to share with us all of the inside scoop of the economy. And that topic is the newest jobs bill introduced by Senator Casey. And so for that, we brought our professor, an economist, Professor Robert Strauss. Thank you so much for being with us today, Professor Strauss.
My pleasure, Becca.
So just a little bit of background. Some of our regular listeners may know we've talked about Obama's job bill in the past, and it was actually quite a jam-packed session of information because there was five different pieces and they didn't all necessarily have not a lot to do with each other. They were all focused on jobs. But we had tried to break through those really quickly, and in the end, that bill did not make it through. So what's going on now is that as of Monday, our very own Senator Casey from Pennsylvania has introduced new legislation that will be just a piece of that. And so we are hoping to talk to Professor Strauss about some of what goes on. You know, he's worked on some of jobs bills similar to this with similar policy objectives in the past. So we want to hear a little bit about what goes on behind those closed doors. What are the economists thinking and doing and saying back there? And then we'd like to hear a little bit about his take on what this really means for us as Americans or Pennsylvanians or employers or employees.
Okay, well, let me start with a little bit of history. Years ago, in the 70s, before both of you were probably even ideas, I spent some time on Capitol Hill and co-authored, well, I worked for something called the Joint Committee on Taxation Congressional Staff, which works for the Ways and Means and Senate Finance Committees. I co-authored with a friend of mine to this day, Randy Weiss, a PhD from Harvard. And what we did was, at the command of the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, Al Ullman, who was very upset about unemployment in 1977 being very high, he wanted something done right now. And it's not just that legislators want to do things when the unemployment situation is bad. So do presidents. Mm-hmm. And so this little story goes like this. President Carter sent up sort of a turkey, and which is to say it got laughed. It was never actually voted down. It went up to Ways and Means, and it was funny because the opportunity to employers to cut their taxes through credits was either they'd get something for plant and equipment, they made an investment, or they would get something in the way of a little offset for employing people. And when we read this, the staff economists for the Joint Tax Committee, we thought that it was foolish because you don't give taxpayers a choice. You put an incentive on the table for a short period of time. You appeal to their self-interest or greed, depending on how you look at it, and hope they'll do something that will lead to hiring more people.
Right.
So in 15 minutes and a little bit of time on the blackboard, Randy and I cooked up something called the New Jobs Tax Credit, which ultimately got enacted. And what we did, and I explained this to Becca in macroeconomics, where she's a stellar student, not so terribly long ago, we tried to get people to do something that they would not otherwise do by lowering the cost of hiring an incremental worker. And so the whole idea was to create a marginal incentive, which economists get very excited about. And a couple years after this was put in place, a guy up at Cornell, a friend of mine, John Bishop, wrote a couple of articles. And he said, by golly, it worked.
And that's not just because he's your friend, right?
No, I didn't even know about his papers. Yeah, but right. He demonstrated that the new jobs tax credit, which only lasted 18 months, but it was 40% of the first $4,200 of wages, so it was a big chunk of money at about the minimum wage rate, lowered the unemployment rate 0.5 percentage point.
Wow.
Which is actually a lot, and the revenue cost per job was $11,000.
Oh, wow.
Now, prices are about four times higher today than then, so the cost per job would be about $40,000 per job. Now, there's been some analysis in the New York Times pulling together stuff on what the cost per job of the second stimulus package was. And as Becca knows, because we went over those numbers, it's about $420,000 per job.
So just to clarify, you're basically saying that it's going to cost the government essentially $420,000 to create one job on average.
That's what happened with the stimulus package that got passed last year. And depending on the provisions, because there was this kind of tax credit, this kind of tax cut, it varied.
Mm-hmm.
But what Randy and I did in the 70s was far more target efficient. That is, mm-hmm. for a relatively small amount of money giving up revenues, we were able to get employers to hire people.
Right.
So that's the name of the game when you're looking at a 9% unemployment rate. So let me fast forward a little bit, because Senator Casey's effort is not unrelated to what I tried to accomplish in 2008.
And Professor Strauss, before you go on, could
sure.
you just explain to folks what that means when you say lower the cost of hiring an incremental worker?
Okay, so let's put it in today's terms. Suppose that you're a small employer, and in 2012, you had $100,000 of wages. Mm-hmm. And in 2011, you had paid $90,000 of wages. So you actually grew a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is, given that you're growing a little bit, is to give you an incentive to actually hire some more folks and spend more on wages. And the way you do that is by giving you a tax credit, because you're paying taxes on the employees that you hire.
Right.
It's 7.65%. And so that will, in effect, lower the overall cost of hiring another employee. So it's just like when the price of candy goes down, you all gobble things up at the at the machine.
Right.
But the idea is to incentivize the marginal so that somebody hires somebody new,
right,
doesn't lay anybody off, and you don't give people a credit if they continue to employ people they did last year. It's at the margin.
Okay, so you want to incentivize new jobs. You don't just want to give cuts to jobs that already exist.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct. So in 2008, we had an election, and after the election, the unemployment situation was dire. It was over 10%, as you may remember, and it seemed to me that what worked in 77 ought to work again.
Mm-hmm.
So I contacted Senator Casey's office, and he had hired a labor attorney who worked on pensions, Will Hansen, and we put together a proposal, and there were other ones floating around, but the long and short of it is that Senator Casey's proposal didn't get enacted. Senator Schumer's proposal to hire people who are unemployed and get a credit for that was what got enacted. The problem with that sort of mechanism is it's hard to find unemployed people. They don't have red dots on there. They don't have LEDs going on,
right,
and so forth. So the general idea in my perfect world is to incentivize generally, and then the unemployment rate will go down and so on and so forth. In the 70s, we focused on small businesses, and the maximum tax credit that a company could get per year was $100,000. And we know from studies for decades that when you're coming out of a recession, most of the new employment results from employers with 50 or fewer employees, even startups. Mm-hmm. But it's not the General Motors of the world which are going to, in their aggregate, lead to a lower unemployment, because they don't lay off auto workers by and large. It's small businesses starting to see demand for their goods and services. And so we focused that incentive, and it worked. And so I thought that it would be easy to convince folks in the House and the Senate, with Senator Casey's leadership, to do something like this. But it turns out not to be so easy.
Yeah, and we'll get into that quickly. But just for those who are just tuning in, to summarize so far, we're talking to Professor Strauss, an economist at the Heinz School of Public Policy, where Paula and I are students. And he's telling us about, basically, first of all, we learned a little bit about what went on in 1977.
Right.
In a similar situation, there was high unemployment and there was a policy objective of get people hired, and what's sort of going on now as it's through Obama, but also through our own Senator Casey.
Right. So the president and the Congress have been very upset and concerned about the high level of unemployment, and they're also upset and concerned about the deficit, and they're upset about many things. And so the president tried in September, he put on the table this huge American Jobs Act with many different components to it, and asked the Congress to pass it now. And he ran around the country, and he's running around the country or flying or whatever, trying to build public support for each of the provisions which you've talked about in earlier shows. Well, what Senator Casey has taken upon himself, and I only found out about this by reading the newspaper, and Becca's pointing to me, hey, do you know what's going on, is to take the tax credit component of the president's proposal, refashion it a little bit, and try to get the Senate to pass it, with the hope that if the Senate passes it and sends it to the House, the House will pass it or its own version, and then they'll have a conference committee, and then the president will have a signing ceremony, and hopefully the incentives that come out of that will lower the unemployment rate. Yeah.
So how is Senator Casey's bill looking? I mean, what's good and what's bad about it in terms of 1977 comparison?
Yeah. So what's happened is that the concern about the deficit and the concern about incentivizing new hires has sort of come together. And the arguments being made by some Democrats, not necessarily Senator Casey, although, and a lot of Republicans, that somehow the tax cut to encourage employment has to be paid for by tax increases elsewhere. And in his proposal, what he's suggesting is that millionaires pay a 3.5% higher marginal tax rate than before.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has caused Republicans in the Senate saying, we didn't mean that, or that's
right.
Not acceptable.
Uh-huh.
The other thing is that Senator Casey, in order to get support from various parts of the stakeholders in our economy, organized labor, big business, what have you, is aiming his tax credit at folks all the way up to $106,800 per year. And that's a much broader spectrum of wages to give a credit again for than what I talked about in 77, which was $4,200,
yeah,
which was basically the minimum wage.
Right.
Minimum wage would be about $14,000 per year. So there's concern about the broader the wage range, if the revenue loss is relatively modest, say 30 or 40 billion, which is still a lot of money, but it's modest, then the incentive won't be very strong.
Right, it'll cost more per person in the one hand.
Right.
And then there's something that we're learning about in class, maybe you can explain, but not only would it cost more to give 7% off of a 100K salary, but also sometimes people making less money tend to run around and spend it quickly.
Right. So what Becca's mentioning is something that Randy and I were very aware of in 1977, which was the following. We wanted to encourage employers to hire people at modest or low wage rates because we believed and we know, just like you, that folks with less money are more likely to spend all of it if they get hired. And that has a stimulative effect on the economy.
Right.
So when you start saying, well, we're going to provide tax credits for hiring up to $100,000 a year, those kind of folks probably don't have the same willingness to spend as Heinz students getting out, working for a nonprofit at, say, $35,000 or $40,000 a year.
Right. Right. As grad students, we are aware that people who earn less spend it all.
Yeah. Well,
but I'm so glad to be stimulating the economy. It makes me feel really good
to sleep
at night.
That's right.
Well, I guess, it's just striking to me sort of the differences that you're talking about between the 1977 bill and some of the proposals in this one, even if you take into account inflation, it sounds like. I mean, there is a huge chunk of revenue per job created. So why, what do you think is going to happen? It seems like there's going to be pushback and it might not go anywhere.
Well, what I would like to happen in my perfect world is that the focus of the credit could be for up to wages of $14,000 or $20,000 per year, and that it be limited per firm to maybe a couple hundred thousand of credits. Now the limitations in the Casey proposal, it's up to several million dollars.
Yeah, I think $50 million.
Well, $50 million in change in wages times.
But the
tax credit allowable is up about $3 million.
Okay.
And so these aren't small businesses in the same sense I was talking about earlier in our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a matter of the target.
It's a market of target. What are you trying to accomplish? What are you willing to spend in terms of foregone revenue? And one of the biggest differences between then and now is that then, if a committee chairman of the tax committees wanted to get something done, leadership would let him do it. And it was a technical matter for the staff to work out. Now, everybody wants to play in the sandbox, and power is dispersed more broadly. And Senator Casey, to his credit and the credit of the Democratic leadership, he's not on the Finance Committee, but he's being encouraged and allowed to do this. And actually, the president was up in Scranton recently talking about this earlier this week. Mm-hmm. So I think the president is behind this proposal. And certainly Senator Casey is pushing hard. You know, he's going to be up for re-election. So there's a lot of political things aligning. But there are also folks, some conservative Democrats, and I think a lot of Republicans, including Senator Toomey, also from Pennsylvania, who are not willing to say, well, we're going to tax people with $1 million or more to somehow finance this. And so you've got the national election, this conflict over income redistribution going on in the context of a conversation of how do we get the unemployment rate down by using the tax system. And I'm fearful that nothing's going to come out of it.
Right. And I mean, I think it's something of a shift. And Paula and I have talked about this, that bills these days are more necessary to pay for the bill within the bill, as there's such tight budget constraints everywhere else that.
Right.
So it makes sense that they're trying to do the millionaire tax at the same time as a tax cut. They want to have a net zero bill because that's all that seems to be realistic these days in these tight fiscal situations. But nonetheless, that seems to be the sticking point for a lot of Republicans is taxing millionaires.
And I would guess, I can't say with certainty, but if instead Senator Casey said, let's try to close some loopholes in business taxes more broadly and not go after millionaires on the personal tax side, then it's like that game you play at Chuck E. Cheese where you have a hammer and something pops up and you hit it, and then you have opposition popping up again because the major corporations, the oil companies, would get very upset.
Right.
You're saying, why are we being singled out? So usually when you're talking about incentivizing something, what you do is, as a country is you say, we'll take the revenue loss and let's get the economy moving and get out of the recession. The problem is that we have spent and cut taxes over $1 trillion and don't have a lot to show for it so far.
Right.
And so the Congress is hearing, you know, the super committee didn't get its job done.
Right.
And so we have these conflicting concerns. We want to get the unemployment rate down, but oh my gosh, the national debt is going up. And so it's a question of wanting to get both accomplished. But
right.
practically, I don't think that can happen.
Well, but it's just, it seems to me, I mean, you're right, there's going to be a cost to it. But if for instance, they kind of took your advice and targeted the jobs a little bit more in terms of the sort of lower wage jobs, then it would have the result of being costing less money per job to incentivize. And then if there were a millionaire's tax, and I get that people don't want that, but some people don't, if there were that, it could be smaller because there would be less cost to cover. But it seems like it might not be necessarily a compromise issue. It might be all or nothing.
I think, Paula, you're right. And what you're saying is that people are arguing over symbols rather than the practicalities. And of course, for folks who are out of work long term, this is not a theoretical issue. There are a lot of people. There's 14 million people out of work in the United States, and the unemployment rate, including those who are discouraged, is very, very high. I mean, I haven't seen, you know, you can talk about a 20% unemployment rate if you start factoring in all these other folks
right.
who aren't looking. And presumably, there's going to people be voting
right.
in the, you know, within right. about a year from now. And so what yeah. I see is a lot of jockeying, but not problem solving. And for right. a guy who makes a living in the classroom, you know, the blackboard and the whiteboard and, you know, the diagrams, it's,
right.
it's really disappointing. The most frustrating thing for me is the following. If Congress could do this in 1977, for whatever reason, and it worked, then why isn't the argument do it today at those, you know, taking into account inflation
right. mm-hmm.
and just pass the same law?
Right.
But for some reason, that doesn't work. Now, it could be that if I were on the Hill again, and I made that argument, maybe it would be more convincing. But it's a puzzle. And I really, you know, I'm glad that Senator Casey is taking this up, and he's using his political chips, if you will,
right.
to take on an unpopular cause, because the millionaires don't want their taxes raised, you know.
Right. I mean, there seems to be a culture of a pretty strong anti-tax rhetoric that's turned into It's turned into an inability of people to pass new taxes and to change millionaire taxes that we've talked a lot about, especially politically. So those, just quickly, for those who are just tuning in, we're talking to an economist, Professor Strauss at the Heinz School, who's basically run us through a little bit about what in 1977 they had a situation not too unlike what we are living through today. And they made a tax break, something like Casey's, but it looks like they focused a little bit more on new jobs, a little bit more on lower wage jobs, and more on smaller business hiring. And through that, they actually had some really good results. Basically, in essence, that's sort of some of the strategies that could be looked at today, perhaps, to make this policy or what we're thinking about for this policy more effective. And so I just actually had a side question. A couple of these tax cuts are actually continuations from the stimulus bill. So can you talk a little bit about how effective those were in the past? And
okay.
in this case, this bill has a two out of three of them are
right. So the one thing that it was in the president's proposal that got enacted, I think it was 2 weeks ago, was an incentive to hire military veterans. And for everybody, that seems like a wonderful thing. I mean, and it's a good idea to incentivize that. The problem is there aren't a lot of them. So it's not going to put a dent in the unemployment rate. The other tax cut that's still up in the air that was passed in 2011 was the reduction in the Social Security tax rate that employees pay from 7.65 to 5.65%. So it's 2 percentage points. And in effect, what that did, because everybody has to pay that off the top, is it gave everybody a 2% raise. Now, I certainly appreciated that, and I don't know if the two of you who've been working, hopefully, here and there, noticed.
Here and there.
But, you know, so that's okay. Yeah. But what Becca's getting at is that incentive to people to have more after-tax income was an incentive to sort of spend, but it didn't create a marginal incentive to hire new people. In fact, it's a benefit, it's a tax cut for those who are working. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it gives them more after-tax income, which you would hope they would use for consumption, which would then stimulate hiring. Right. But it's not as direct as saying to employers, if you hire somebody new, we'll give you 20-30% of their wages back up to a limit to make a difference. And so Becca's looking at a very unusual table that we talked about in class, and it was in the New York Times. Maybe I'll put it on my website, or you folks can do it for the Heinz Journal. But the payroll tax cut, that 2 percentage point reduction, lost $120 billion of revenue last year. And it's thought to have created or saved 720,000 jobs. If you do the arithmetic of taking the ratio of the two, then that's $166,000 per job. Right. That's a cost. And some other numbers that are really startling is the continuation of the Bush tax cuts cost $360 billion, and that only created or saved 217,000 jobs for a per-job cost of $1.658 million, which incidentally, by the way, is more than I make in a given year.
More than too. A lot of people make in a given year.
So when we went over these figures Monday, the students in macroeconomics at Heinz, their eyes got big because compared to the 44,000 figure, which is the 1977 per job cost brought to today's dollars, that's those kinds of things that they did last year are not very what I call target efficient.
Right.
In other words, what are you after? What are you trying to accomplish? I think, you know, if it's creating jobs, inducing people to hire, spending $400,000-$150,000 a job, you could drop money from the by airplanes or give it to CMU students, Heinz students especially, and that would be very stimulative, right?
Right, for sure. Well, we've only got a couple minutes left. I have a more sort of broad question just based on some of the language in the bill. The top of the bill has a little goal in it, and it says it's to create jobs by providing payroll tax relief for middle-class families and businesses and for other purposes. And I don't know if maybe I just haven't read enough, you know, sort of legislation before, but I thought that was interesting that this and for other purposes thing was just tagged on there. I don't know if you have any insights into
Well, listen, I've graded exams over the years, and you're both students. So sometimes when you're confronted with an essay question and you're clueless, you're blindsided, you start talking broadly with the hope that maybe you'll get some points.
So leave it general so people can plug in what they want to say.
Yeah, that gives everybody who's running for re-election or trying to support the president, this thing is the universal solution to our problems because it serves other purposes.
Right.
So you can fill in the rhetoric. You're smart, Heinz students.
Just wondering if we were on the same page.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it looks like we're out of time for today. But I thank you so much. I think we got a really good understanding of what went on in the past and maybe how that's different today or what at least the proposed policy is. And I think it helped everyone understand a little bit better what could be changed? What could be different, perhaps, to target if our policy objective is to create more jobs? So thanks again for coming.
My pleasure. It's been fun.
Okay, and we'll be here next week.
Policy That Matters is a collaboration between the Heinz Journal of Carnegie Mellon University's Heinz College and WRCT 88.3 FM. For more information, go to journal.heinz.cmu.edu.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.